And it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director, Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for tuning in, regardless of how you are tuning in, whether you're listening live, Joy 620, or you are listening to the podcast that can be found at iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn app, wherever podcasts are found. And of course, you can find it on our website, investinghope.com. Also, if you want to learn more about the work being done at Hope Resource Center, investinghope.com is a great place for you to go. You can read our blog, which I'll admit I haven't wrote one in a few weeks, and I promise I'll do better. And then you can also find this podcast and ways to partner with us if you feel so led to do so as well, investinghope.com. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, those places as well. So we are grateful that you are listening. What I want to do today is talk about pregnancy center work. And you hear that and you go, well, yeah, of course you're going to talk about pregnancy center work. But what I want to talk about today is a study that was put out by the Susan B. Anthony Foundation that looked at the work of pregnancy centers just in the year 2017. And the reason why I want to talk about this is a lot of times when you hear about the pro-life movement, what immediately comes to your mind? Legislation, Roe v. Wade, the right to life. All of these things come to your mind because culture and society has done a good job of making the pro-life movement or the pro-choice movement a political one. And so we tend to, when we talk about the issue of abortion and life, we tend to put our political hats on. But the reality is there are thousands of pregnancy center staff members and volunteers that are going to work every single day to serve men and women and babies across this country. And this study, what they did was they focused on the work that's being done at pregnancy centers. So oftentimes when we hear about the pro-life movement, as a pro-lifer, it is easy to get wrapped up in the political side. It's easy to get wrapped up in what's going on at the Supreme Court. It's easy to get wrapped up into those things. And it's also easy to feel defeated and to say, we haven't won a big case in a long time, or we're losing the issue when it comes to abortion. But the reality is, in my estimation, not only are we winning when it comes to a legislative issue, a political issue across the country, we are seeing state after state pass legislation that would restrict abortion and celebrate life, but also we are winning in the grassroots work on the ground, which is where the pregnancy center movement comes in. So we are certainly pro-life, but the pregnancy center movement isn't, we're not waiting around for Roe v. Wade to be overturned. We're not waiting around for the next Supreme Court justice. We're not waiting around for the next piece of legislation. We understand that we have work to do today, and that's where this study comes in and really does a great job of highlighting the work of places like Hope Resource Center across this country. So I'm going to be reading from an article that can be found at ChristianPost.com, where they kind of give a summary of the 80-page report. So new research reveals that pro-life pregnancy centers across the nation have, in just 1 year, helped 2 million people, mostly women and youth, and saved communities $161 million in costs. Now think about that. Have you seen this reported on your media outlets? Have you seen this reported on cable news? On any of the news organizations? There's not a lot of reasons to point to why it hasn't been reported except for it being a pro-life issue. But we're saving, now hear this, a $161 million in cost is what's been saved. That's a lot of money. And we've been able to save that through the work of pregnancy centers. So in an 80-page report, again, from the Susan B. Anthony list, researchers note that their study, and they called it A Half Century of Hope, A Legacy of Life and Love, commemorates 5 decades of life-saving pregnancy center outreach. The first freestanding pregnancy center opened in 1968 in Toronto, Ontario, and ever since, similar kinds of centers in the United States have followed their pattern. The reports provide The report provides a thorough analysis of the impact of 2,600 of the estimated 2,750 centers in the U.S. last year, examining the scope of their medical and social services and featuring moving personal testimonies of clients who assessed them from as far back as 35 years ago. The Pregnancy Care Center outreach movement has thus seen birth of a third generation impacted by pregnancy center outreach, the report explains. The centers that were studied completed one of two online surveys, pregnancy centers across the country, distributed by their national network, parent organization, or pregnancy center state coalition or regional leader. In 2017, those pregnancy centers provided approximately 2 million people in the U.S. with free services, saving communities $161 million annually in estimated cost. More than 7 in 10 locations offer free ultrasounds. Hope is one of those, a 24% increase since 2010. Credentialed nurse sonographers and registered diagnostic medical sonographers contributed over 400,000 hours of free services last year, along with 100 mobile ultrasound units to bring services to women out in the community. Approximately 67,000 volunteers serve pregnancy centers, including an estimated 7,500 medical professionals who offer their time and skills for free. Such centers administered 679,000 free pregnancy tests, and nearly 300,000 mothers and fathers attended parenting courses. The pregnancy center saw more than 24,000 after a post-abortive support clients for counseling, support, and referrals for professional help with appropriate when appropriate. More than 1 million students attended community-based sexual risk avoidance education presentations. Through the leadership and guidance of national as well as smaller networks, pregnancy centers have grown into a global movement, the summary notes. For many, the pro-life movement is known again for its political organizing and for efforts to elect politicians who will vote in favor of both laws restricting abortion and federal judges on Supreme Court and Supreme Court justices who will vote to undo Roe v. Wade. Of course, that's the 1973 landmark case legalizing abortion nationwide. But beyond desired legislation and judicial appointments, since 1973, the movement has become much more multifaceted and medicalized. The Christian Post reported in January that networks, crisis pregnancy centers in the U.S. are increasingly moving toward greater standardization and are deliberately framing the conversation about distinctly pro-life medical services in a more holistic manner, particularly since the healthcare system in the U.S. is in dire need of solutions. Abortion is considered good medicine today. The healthcare system has adopted abortion as a good item. A doctor, founder of the Divine Mercy Care and who runs an OBGYN in Fairfax, Virginia, told Christian Post in an interview at the time. And while many patients and medical providers disagree with that, the missing piece has been doctors standing up and saying, "We want to help women with real comprehensive and building of healthcare," he said. "If we can use charity, competence, and excellence with standards, then the 50 to 80% of women who intrinsically do not want abortion on demand, they can trust these people across the country rather than ending up in a tight spot or difficult medical situation and then not knowing what your doctor would do." The study concluded the scope of services and healing work of pregnancy centers are helping to reclaim and rebuild a life-honoring paradigm of truth, true reproductive health nationwide. By assisting women, men, youth, and couples, they are helping to strengthen families and communities. The life-changing encounters and experiences at pregnancy centers across the country tell a compelling story of strength through support and service. So it's important that we hear this. I mean, I'm just looking at Google right now. I Googled the study, and it does appear that the places that have reported on it are all Christian-leaning. Also, the NPR did do a report on it. But I can promise you, when the abortion industry comes out with their annual report, you will see it on CNN. You will see it on the major networks, on MSNBC. And also, you will see their leader, the president of the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood, on those shows as well, being interviewed. You'll see them on The View. You'll see them on every outlet you can think of. But who do you not see on those outlets? You don't see the leaders of the pregnancy center movement. You don't see the leaders of the pro-life movement. You don't see Jenny, who leads the March for Life, the largest annual pro-life protest in the world. You won't see Roland Warren, who leads CareNet, which is a large umbrella organization for pregnancy centers. You won't see Tom Glessner, who leads NIFLA. You won't see these folks. Why? Because their desire to see life celebrated, their desire to see moms served well and babies served well, does not help the narrative of the day. So they're not going to get the time on the air, even though this study shows the impact that's being had, even though we know by our work and the work of doctors that partner with us, the impact that those conversations have with patients, not just to get them to choose life, but it also shows that patient that we see that they are cared for, that they matter, that they have value. You see, many of our patients have received seconds and thirds their entire life. Now, in a way, society has aborted our patients. They're outcast. They're struggling with addiction. They're struggling with financial trouble. They're unemployed. They've been abused their entire life. And society says, yeah, there's not much we can do for you. What you ought to do is go get an abortion. The last thing you need to do is bring a kid into this situation. Well, that's not what that patient needs. That patient needs to be told, look, you're in a tough spot. But guess what? You're not going to be in this tough spot alone. We're going to be here with you. And that is what pregnancy centers are able to do across this country. So for the folks that say, well, all you care about is baby, you are just pro-baby. You do not care about baby after it is born, and you certainly don't care about that mom after the baby arrives. Well, that's just, how can I say this nicely? That's just not true, okay? So that is, the folks that say that really have no idea what occurs in a pregnancy center every single day. They just don't. They don't know that our staff spends hours meeting with these patients, many, many minutes on a telephone with these patients. They don't know that we're having parenting class for these patients. They don't know that we're throwing baby showers for these patients and their baby. They don't know that we're then following up with them and saying, hey, come back and see us, and we have more classes for you even after baby arrives. So to say that we're just pro-baby, first off, I would say absolutely, 100%, I am pro-baby. But second off, it's just not true to say that all we care about is the baby being born. We care deeply about mom. We care deeply about baby. And to be completely honest, we care deeply about the man that was also involved in the making of that child, whether they're involved or not. And so that's what we're able to do at Hope Resource Center. And that's the amazing work that's being done across this country at pregnancy centers. Over 2 million people in 2017 were served at a pregnancy center. That's not just a few. That's 2 million people. And I'm proud to be a part of that work. We'll be back. Love forever inside our hearts, forever you reign in us, filling our lives with hope. Love has unlocked our freedom into heaven's throne. We come standing righteous as white as snow. So in 2017, over 2 million people served in pregnancy centers across this country. $161 million saved communities by the work of pregnancy centers. Very important stuff that you're aware of. I now want to shift gears a little bit to some info that you may have heard about. And I know that I've talked about on here, but it's the Gosnell case out of Philadelphia. Kermit Gosnell was the abortion doctor that come to find out for years he was not just aborting babies, but he was actually killing children after they were born in his facility as well. So women would come to his facility for a late term abortion, and it's now, I mean, he's been convicted. It's now been proven that he was actually murdering the children even after they were born. And so a terrible situation, just a terrible case in Philadelphia from a few years back. But one thing I want to point out, and I normally wouldn't do this, but I do think it's important when we talk about our words and when we talk about consistency when it comes to reporting and why at times we don't get the consistency from a pro-life, pro-choice standpoint. And it's because of the greater narrative that's being pushed. And so there's a film that's coming out about Kermit Gosnell, and they looked to do some advertising on NPR. And there's an article that's walking us through this that I want to refer to as we see clearly through some emails that the goal, the greater narrative again, was to let's not harm the abortion industry. Let's not tie this guy to the abortion industry. Let's act like he's an anomaly and isn't part of the greater abortion industry. But I do think it's important. So early last month, John Sullivan, executive producer of the new film Gosnell, The Trial of America's Biggest Serial Killer, which comes out in theaters October 12th, reached out to National Public Radio, NPR, to purchase a sponsorship for the Peabody Award-winning interview show Fresh Air. Sullivan, who was prepared to spend as much as six figures, crafted his ad copy to answer the question you're probably asking, who is Gosnell? Because still, a bulk of Americans won't know who Kermit Gosnell is. The proposed ad was as follows. Support for this NPR program comes from the film Gosnell, The Trial of America's Biggest Serial Killer. The film is the true story of abortionist Kermit Gosnell, a story the mainstream media tried to cover up because it reveals the truth about abortion. No dice. According to emails provided to the Daily Beast, NPR's representative ran it up the legal flagpole and came back with an answer. In addition to other minor tweaks to the wording, their response stated, the word abortionist will also need to be changed to the neutral word doctor. Seeking to find an acceptable compromise, Sullivan, who co-directed two other, you know, very well-received documentaries, proposed simply using the term abortion doctor. This is a descriptive term that is morally neutral, he reasoned. Still, NPR refused to approve Sullivan's compromise language. It was Philadelphia Dr. Kermit Gosnell or bust. For the filmmakers, this was a deal-breaker. Our movie isn't about a podiatrist or a cardiologist, said producer. It's specifically about a doctor who performs abortions. That's what Kermit Gosnell did. When asked to comment, NPR senior director explained sponsor credits that run on NPR are required to be value neutral to comply with FCC requirements and to avoid suggesting bias in NPR's journalism. And so Lara sent me the modified language that was acceptable to NPR, which reads, hat tip distribution with the film Gosnell, The Trial of America's Biggest Serial Killer, based on the true story of Philadelphia doctor Kermit Gosnell. It's still unclear why the term abortion doctor couldn't be included. A quick search turns up past NPR stories with titles like Joyce Carol, new novel begins with an abortion doctor's murder, and abortion doctor killer appeals to Kansas High Court. NPR even did a special series called Training the Next Generation of Abortion Doctors. There was even an NPR news story about Kermit Gosnell himself, and it was headlined, Convicted Philadelphia Abortion Doctor Gets Life in Prison. And so as we see, they have an issue with calling Kermit Gosnell what he was. He was an abortion doctor. What did he do in his office there in Philadelphia? He provided abortions. Some legal, some illegal. And what we find, if you do a deep dive into that story, if you read the book or if you watch the documentary or the new movie that's coming out, what you'll find is not only was he performing those abortions, but he was preying on the vulnerable. So not just the vulnerable in the womb, but the vulnerable young women that were finding themselves facing unplanned pregnancies. And so Kermit Gosnell was going out of his way and making a lot of money off the backs of the vulnerable and was ending life, not just in the womb, but even in ending life, even if babies were born alive. And so there was no question that's what his mission was. He would say to this day, he was doing, in his words, God's work. He would say to this day that what he did was not wrong. What he was doing was health care. The abortion industry would call that health care. But what this story does is this story gives us a point to look at and gives us an opportunity to really see what goes on behind those walls, what goes on in the abortion industry. And it isn't about health care. That may be a small part of it, but a larger part of that is they make a lot of money off abortions. $60 million since Roe v. Wade, $1 million a year in this country every single year. At its high point in the 90s, it might have been around 1.6 million abortions. And so they make a lot of money off those abortions. You see, the goal isn't to turn this into a political issue. It's a humanitarian issue. It's a gospel issue. Sure, there's some politics to it. But are we prepared to stand for the vulnerable or not? You know, anytime we see children being hurt or harmed, whether it be a school shooting or the hurricanes coming through, and we worry about children. There was a one-year-old that was swept away in the flood in one of the Carolinas just over the weekend and lost his life. And it breaks our heart when we see children treated in such a way. Well, the only difference between that one-year-old that was swept away in the flood and a child in the womb is size and proximity. That's it. Both fully human. Both have their own DNA. Both have their own organs. Both have their own blood type. Both bear the image of our Creator. So both matter to us. And so that's why we get up and do the work we do at Hope Resource Center. That's why when we see that number, 2 million people served in pregnancy centers in 2017, that number should matter to us. 1 million babies aborted every year, that number should matter to us. And I pray it does. We'll be back. You know, as a Southern Baptist, it's always been said that Southern Baptists don't dance, which I would argue. I was a huge fan of MC Hammer back in the day. I was a huge dancer. But there's so many worship songs out now that you want to dance to, and so it's difficult to be a Southern Baptist in this moment. And I couldn't imagine singing songs like that on Sunday morning, but more power to them as we see the ushering end of a new generation of worship songs. So as we talk about life today, and as we look at the work of pregnancy centers, I think it's also important to understand that this is I was talking to somebody today and I said, you know, we don't see this as a political issue. We see this as a gospel issue. And they looked at me and said, well, even if you lay that to the side, it's a humanitarian issue. And it certainly is. And so, but we are a ministry at Hope Resource Center. We are unapologetically Christian. We are the staff and the board are made up of folks that are Christian, but from a number of different denominations, and we don't hide from that. And we're proud of that fact. We're proud to have over 50 churches that partner with us financially and in other ways. And just this week, we're going to be hitting the road, not too far down the road here in Knoxville, but tomorrow we will be joining First Baptist Concord as they have their missions, their GO conference all week. And so we're going to be there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and on Sunday as well. And why are we doing that? We do that because the church is what's driving what should be driving this issue. And so there'll be other nonprofits there. There'll be other ministries there. But we are so grateful for the partnerships that we have. Then this Sunday, we'll not only be at Concord, we'll be at First Baptist Lenore City. We had a pastor's breakfast last week, and we had, 25 to 30 pastors and staff members of churches that joined us for the breakfast as we got a chance to talk about the work of Hope Resource Center, how folks can volunteer, how church members can get involved, church partners can get involved in the work that we're doing. And so we are grateful for the local church. And I think it's important that if you're listening to this show or if you listen to any Christian station, that's not enough. Right? We should be a part of a local church somewhere, and there are plenty of good ones here in Knoxville. And so if you're looking for a good church home, I think at times the local church kind of gets dumped on, and well, if they would just do this, or they're not doing enough of this, or I saw a post today, somebody said if churches really cared about life, they would be adopting and they would be serving and doing all these things. And I'm going, you know, do you live under a rock? Churches are adopting children more than anyone. Churches are serving more than anyone. Who do you think is helping with the hurricane aftermath? Churches, the disaster relief organizations. And so we are impacting the country and the world, not just with the gospel, but with actual tangible work. And so we're grateful for the local church. What we understand as a nonprofit is we're not the bride. We come alongside the bride. The bride is the church. And so we know that churches are being pulled in a number of different directions. But we also understand that without the church, we cannot impact the city and the country like we feel called to do. And so if you look at the numbers that we talked about earlier, over 2 million people served in pregnancy centers in 2017, and the amount of volunteers that helped out and partnered with pregnancy centers across the country, I would wager that at least 90%, if not 100% of those volunteers are directly connected to that pregnancy center through a local church. Now think about that. I can say that at Hope. Every single volunteer we have is partnering with us through a local church. They are all involved in a local church. Every one of them. And so when we say things like, we couldn't do this work without you, we couldn't do this work without the church, that's not just me saying things to, like, you know, pluck your heartstrings. That's not the goal. That's just the truth. If the church tomorrow said, hey, we're not helping Hope Resource Center anymore, it would be very difficult for us to continue doing the work that we do. Why? Because we're so connected to the local church. But it's because we believe this issue is a church issue. It's a gospel issue. Life is precious and life is a gift. Where does that gift come from? From the Lord. So if this isn't a gospel church issue, then I don't know what is. And so as we go to the conference this week, and as we're at First Baptist of North City on Sunday, and as Christmas rolls around, we'll be partnering with more churches. And then as January gets here, and Sanctity of Life Month, and January, February, March, I'm going to be attending a lot of different churches to speak on behalf of Hope and the gospel and the work that's being done with your support. And we are grateful for that. And so maybe you're listening, you're saying, well, okay, well, how does my church really get involved? What can we do? Well, in a couple weeks, Sevier Heights they're bringing out a team to do some work at our facility. We've had people come and paint. We've had people come and clean out gutters and pressure wash and do those type of things. We also have people come in churches that will come and take care of our baby shower. So they'll decorate, they'll provide food, they'll provide the gifts. So there's tons of ways. Maybe you're sitting there and you're saying, you know, I faced an unplanned pregnancy myself, and the Lord did some amazing things through that, and I would love to share that wisdom and knowledge that I gained with some of your patients. Well, you need to be a mentor, and you need to reach out to us so that we can partner you, we can get you through the training, and so you can mentor some of our patients. That's a great way to truly invest in the life of another. Maybe your church can, some churches in town will do, you've heard of an angel tree at Christmas time. And so there's different items on the tree, and you provide gifts for, you know, a 6-year-old or a 10-year-old and the sizes that they need. Some churches do a form of that, but it's like a hope tree. And so then people can pull off and they can buy car seats and pack and plays and diaper bags and strollers and diapers, all of those things. As we continue to grow at Hope Resource Center, We are throwing more and more baby showers. What's that mean? That means we need more strollers. We need more car seats, more pack and plays. And again, all those items are brand new. Like I said earlier, our patients have received seconds and thirds long enough. It's time that they get the best. It's time that they get brand new. And we don't take that lightly. At a baby shower, they get new items. And there's no changing that, because they deserve it. And so those are some things that you can do. We would encourage you to do. I'm not saying replace the angel tree with hope. Please don't hear that. You need both of those. Okay. Angel trees are amazing, and that's a great way to serve families in need, and you need to be doing that. But if you feel so led to also have a tree or something for hope, then we would welcome that as well. Or maybe you're like, you know, every day when I come home, I put my change in a little jar at the side of the bed. I don't know who gets change anymore, but maybe you do that. Maybe you spend cash and you get change back. Maybe you would just fill a jar up or fill a bottle up, a baby bottle up, and bring that to Hope Resource Center. That's simple, but and maybe you're thinking, well, how much money could you really get in a baby bottle? Well, if it's change, it depends, but you can fit a lot of cash in a baby bottle. If it's a check, you can write it for whatever amount you want to write it in. But also, we do the Battle of the Bottles with Grace and CAK, and that's coming up in the next couple weeks. And do you know that, now hear this, these are schools. These are elementary, middle school, and high school age kids. Did you know that in 7 years, by filling up baby bottles with cash, check, and coin, they have raised $145,000. Now think about that. So when I bring out baby bottles and people are like, oh, that's a waste of your time. What are you going to get, 100 pennies? Well, actually, in 7 years, we got $145,000 through the giving of Grace and CAK. And other schools have come on board with that. FBA, we're going to be doing a bottle drive with them over there in Powell in January. And looking to partner with more schools. Maybe you're a headmaster listening to this right now and you want your school to do it, reach out to me, Andrew@KnoxvilleHope.com. So there's ways to get involved. And every dime goes to serving our patients. I had a lunch meeting today with some folks that are more medical focused. And we were talking about lab services and some services that we're trying to get taken care of, but there's more to come on that in the near future. And as I'm talking with them, what I kept saying is, look, the last thing we're going to do is give an invoice to a patient. We don't want their money. You see, our patients already have enough obstacles in their way, whether it be abuse or addiction or low income, or just the fear of an unplanned pregnancy. That alone is enough. And so there's tons of obstacles in the way of our patients. Our goal is not to provide more hoops for them to jump through. Our goal is to remove hoops, to remove obstacles from them. That's why we provide all of our services at no cost. That's why we partner with people like you. That's why individuals, businesses, and churches donate and partner with us so that we can still serve the women of this city and, again, remove the obstacles instead of bring more obstacles in their way. And so there's a number of ways to partner with us. And maybe you're just a creative person and you're saying, well, this would be a great thing. I need to reach out to Andrew and tell him about that. I'm open for ideas of how we can better serve this city, how we can make sure that costs will never be something that's passed down to our patients. And I'll just be honest, as long as I'm at Hope, that's never going to happen. Again, because our goal is not to give them more hoops to jump through. They're jumping through plenty of hoops already. The struggle is there. And so we want to serve, and we want them to be worry-free when they get into our building. We want that to be a release, a peaceful moment for them. And you help us do that by providing the medical staff, by providing the ultrasound machines, the pregnancy test, the STD test, all of those things allow us to serve our patients in this city better. And we're grateful for it. We'll be back. In the sweet. So we went from a Hillsong concert to maybe the Gaither Homecoming Hour, which is fine with me. That is more probably my style. of music, and the producer understands that. And so I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that. Because everyone knows that we're going to be singing that song right there in heaven for eternity. I can't wait. I can't wait. I had a conversation earlier today that will there be, probably not, but will there be sections in heaven of like, okay, traditional style, contemporary, like really contemporary style, flag waving, all of the ones. When you get to heaven, will you get to go, okay, I'm more traditional, let me go to this one or not? That's probably bad theology, and maybe you can email Joy620 with your complaints. But as we finish up our conversation today, I do think it's important that we see this issue. First off, it's not a simple issue when it comes to talking about life and abortion. It is lives are at stake. I mean, it's a big deal. Like actual people. You know, when we get up and we run to our political corners and we get up and we on our high horse and we scream about these issues, what we tend to forget are there is actual real people that are dealing with these struggles. Okay, so whether regardless of my opinion on abortion, that doesn't change the fact that there are people coming into Hope Resource Center every single day that do believe abortion is their only choice. Okay, so that doesn't change. My opinion doesn't change that fact. So what are we going to do about it? Are we going to meet them there? Are we going to be willing to have a conversation with them? Are we going to be willing to hear them out? Those are things we have to wrestle with as believers. I'm speaking at chapel on Thursday to some elementary kids, and the theme this year is be bold and be courageous. And my question to them is going to be the question that I think all of us have to really deal with. Is, are we, or what's easier? Is it easier to be about self? Is it easier to run to our political corners and kind of see this as a broad issue and we just fight? Or, so do we take the easy road and do that? Or do we take the hard road, the bold road, the courageous one where we say, look, I know this is tough what you're going through. I know this pregnancy is not what you wanted. I know you didn't want to get pregnant with this guy. I know you're not in a good situation right now. But let's talk about it. You see, that's what the gospel does. The gospel doesn't just snap its fingers and everything is corrected. Sure, Jesus went to the cross and conquered death, and that is those are things that secure our salvation. But even when that is recognized and one is saved, it doesn't change some of the messiness that is life, because we're still on this side. It's still broken. And so there's still some brokenness. There's messiness when we're dealing with these issues. So when we talk about life and abortion, are we willing to say that there are people that are legitimately struggling with the decision that's in front of them? And then are we willing to say, where do those struggles come from? Maybe their partner is not on board. Maybe their parents aren't on board. Maybe they're 16 years old. Maybe they're pregnant through rape. Maybe incest. See, these are tough conversations to have. But the one thing we have to keep going back to is life is a gift. Life is precious. And so it's worth the fight. It's certainly worth a conversation. It's worth sitting down with people and looking at someone and saying that they're loved, they're valued, and respected. And that's what we try to do at Hope Resource Center every single day. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. I give it all.